Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Undercut Podcast and what is technically the first of series two. Can I get a woo from the audience?
Woo!
Thank you, Ellie May, the only person who wants to chime in with my participation elements. I'm one of your hosts, Jesse
Billington.
Oh, thank you, Henry as well. There we go. I'm Jesse Billington, and as ever, I'm joined by my two capable chums, Ellie May Taylor and Timo Albus Daly. How are you both?
Tired, but I'm good, thank you.
Tired, we can work with. We'll zhuzh you up with some paint scheme energy through the evening. Timo, how are you this evening?
I'm rather good, thank you very much, Jesse. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Had a busy day. I've been chasing Transport for London for some news articles and releases with regards classic cars and new les zones. So all very interesting things. But hey, that's my life these days. And we're also joined by a guest for this week's episode, the first guest of our 2023 season, the intensely handsome, a man styled after Valtteri Bottas himself, Henry Wallace. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No, very much a pleasure to bring some Haas knowledge and influence to the podcast, which is quite a good thing, as that's where we're starting off. Obviously, Haas, they were the first out of the gates with their 2023 livery, and that's what this week's podcast is all about. We are reviewing the liveries for the 2023 cars. Obviously, we don't know if there's any special liveries yet to come, or if Alpine are going to do what they did last year, where they had one of the first two races and then just changed to something bit different, but we'll find out, because we're actually recording this on the evening of Alpine's livery launch, and we don't know what it looks like apart from potentially the leaked photos from their Silverstone trial day. But hey, that's the fun of the fair. But like we said, we've got Henry Wallace here, the Haas chap, and makes sense to then start off with Haas, who've gone back to black and white with a bit of red thrown in there. They've also got Nico Hülkenberg and Kevin Magnussen driving for them this year. So who wants to throw their hat into the ring with an opinion on their design first? I think it's only fair we go straight to Henry for this one.
Well, I don't like it. I'm kidding. I can't not like it, really. There's not a real great deal of legacy when it comes to...
I've got props for this as well. He says, putting on his Haas hat. My head's going to get very warm until we get to...
There's somebody else who's bought Haas merch in the UK.
Not bought. I was given this. This was my secret Santa gift from Teamwork at the end of last year. But I enjoy it. It's a nice hat.
It's amusing because
now that I have supplied both Jesse and Ellie May with Haas merchandise, I'm the only one on this episode that doesn't actually have any Haas merchandise.
Well, send me your email and I'll see what I can do. I need to get the whole crew kitted out in Haas, head to toe in Haas.
Back to the livery, Henry. You like it. You're a fan.
I am. Haas don't really have a kind of a legacy. They don't have the sorts of... The amount of history that, say, Red Bull or Ferrari or McLaren do when it comes to livery. They've changed it more or less every single year. There's a few design details that they've managed to keep as the years have gone on. But I think considering where they were before and the sort of team that they are now, it's nice that they've gone for a big change. And obviously, MoneyGram as the new title sponsor is going to be a fairly prominent thing on the car. There's something on the fin at the back, which... if you look at it from top down, does remind us of the days of Nikita Mazepin. We don't say his name. We've kind of scored him from my mental records. But also, if you do look at it from top down, it's got this kind of like trident shape going along the top of the side pods and towards the front of the halo. So kind of tying that in with K-Mag's kind of Danish nature, Scandinavian, you know, it's something that I quite liked from it. And it's nice to see it in black again. The most prominent black livery that Haas had was, of course, the Rich Energy one in 2019. But again, with so many things at the moment in regards to weight saving, they've not gone too over the top with the black. And to take out the Haas out of its signature red and put it into white, I think's also quite a nice little feature. It's definitely my favourite livery that Haas have done so far, but the Rich Energy livery and last year's livery were actually, I think, a very close joint second.
I think last year's, I quite liked the white with the red and the blue elements to it. It was quite unique. But this year's, the black over it looks almost IndyCar-ish in a way. It's sort of really trimmed the car down. The dark colours make them look a lot slenderer than they in reality are. But I do like when you mentioned the sort of top-down view to it on the red element, on the sort of engine cowl, you've got the two arrows from the MoneyGram logos that do look like it suggests the car should be revolving around a central axis in some sort of spinning motion, which is quite funny, really, given their previous drivers. But hey, we roll with that one. But yeah, I think I want the Haas writing on the side pods in red. I think that's, you like it in the white. I think in the red it would have worked. And my one concern is, this is possibly me as thinking as a photographer, is black cars are a nightmare to photograph regardless of the circumstance, which is probably also going to be a problem for the Mercedes moving forwards as well, trying to get a good shot of it, especially in low light conditions. I didn't think we were going to have anything worse than the Haas for all black, but here we are. But yeah, the money thing on the front wing as well looks a bit like an advert for the One Show, where you've got the same colours and from some angles you can just see one. And you just think, oh, they're promoting Alex Jones on the One Show. And you're thinking, that's a bit odd. But otherwise, yeah, it's a nice design. It's a good starting point for where the designs have gone this season. But I don't think it's out of my favourite Haas designs. I don't think this is it.
I really like the design. I think for me, it is... they're my favourite Haas design, but kind of on the same note that you said, I wouldn't have put the Haas on the side in red, but I would have liked more red in the side pods or something like that, just to break up the black a bit. And I also think due to where MoneyGram is based on sort of the fin, it kind of now makes it look like the numbers of the drivers were an afterthought and they've just been kind of squished in, and I think they look quite weird. And I also think then when you're trying to watch the drivers as they go around on track, I think it'll actually be quite difficult to see their numbers and be able to distinguish that way of, oh, that's Kevin or that's Nico. We're probably going to have to maybe look at their helmets to try and distinguish who they are. But other than that, I think it is a good looking car. I'm just being nitpicky.
Yeah, I think
it's a good blend of past liveries and I quite like it. It's honouring what's come before for the most part, but then also very much distinct in itself and very much fitting of 2023. And I think the reason we had such a minimalist livery last year was for some obvious reasons there. So there wasn't enough time to really go and design something new. So whereas this time they've been able to really go for it and it works quite nicely. I don't know if it's my favourite of the Haas ones, but it's nice that it kind of does a bit of honouring the past, like I say, and looking to the future a bit. And as for your complaint about photography, Jesse, I think it's just challenging you to be a better photographer, and the Mercedes likewise. It just wants you to find that inner more professional part of you that knows that you can do it, but you can't do it right now. You've got to grow, and that's going to happen over the year, Jesse. So that's what that's really about.
It's presenting a personal challenge to me through the year. Well, potentially I'll try and get myself FIA certified as a photographer and get trackside, and that might give me an advantage as opposed to trying to shoot through the fence at Loughfield. So we'll see. Anyway, yeah, so general consensus on the Haas is it's a pretty strong starting point for this year's liveries. But if we're talking about And they've changed it up a bit. I think that's the important thing, is they've changed it up over the past few years. They've always had something that's a little bit different. The same cannot be said for the second livery we saw unveiled this year, which was Red Bull, which has simply been titled here as same old, same old.
Not worth waiting an hour for, was it? I'm sure you've got to laugh at the people who did, thinking that there was going to be something different there, as if it's one thing if it's Ferrari because it's Ferrari, so we let them get away with it a lot because they're Ferrari. But Red Bull is not Ferrari, and you know your livery. It may be historically very nice in 40 years when who knows if they're still there or what the situation is, but that's not now. So it's just, I don't know. It's fine.
I think it's very much a case of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, you always know what you're going to get with Red Bull, and I quite like the classic Red Bull design, so why change it? The thing I don't understand is why they always go mad on their livery reveals. It's almost like, oh, we haven't actually spent money designing a livery because it's the same every year, so let's just put that m money into the livery reveal and go wild.
Yeah, I like it's a decent livery. I have nothing against it, but again, I just don't get why they have such a fanfare about unveiling what's never actually going to be the car that hits the track in their shakedown sessions or testing. It's just a model. It's got clearly the bits that are designed on it to throw off other manufacturers if they want to look at it. And the livery looks pretty much exactly the same as it did last year, but with some slight differences to sponsors across it. I was like, I'm not growing bored of it. It's a great livery. It looks great. And I love the fact that Red Bull have stuck with very much the same sort of style since they sort of joined the sport. And obviously, Sebastian Vettel helped cement it as an iconic livery, winning his four championships back to back. It really baked it into the mindset of great livery. If it's a livery that wins championships, people immediately give it kudos. Like you look at the McLaren Hondas, the Marlboro McLaren Hondas from the sort of Prost Senna era. Great, great cars, really fantastic liveries. And you remember them because they won championships, or you remember the silver McLaren that Lewis won with, and you think, yeah, perfect liveries. And yeah, you sort of step outside of that and you start losing it. I think you get associated with the Red Bull one of being great because it has this great history. But admittedly, it's a young history, a history that's barely even a decade old in its oldest areas. So.
Just to build off that slightly as well, you've seen with other cars that we'll get to on this list that they are similar, a lot of them, to what they were last year, but they seem to be slight evolutions, or you can see that there have been tweaks made, and you can tell that in the color or in this or that, but sponsor names that have changed rather than anything else. And like you say, you need to have a history like McLaren, Williams, or Ferrari, where there is so much of it there that you can afford to keep the same livery in Ferrari's case, or you have a few changes, but very distinct to a certain era, like with McLaren, like with Williams, where you can rotate between these two or three. But with Red Bull, you've got the success associated with this livery, but you've also got the immense failures between 14 and 20. So you're just kind of there with, like, there isn't anything to really distinguish out of it, which you do kind of have Mercedes as well now, because you do have the silver, you've got the black, you've got the back to silver, and you can make these little inroads where, like, okay, that tells a story, whereas Red Bull is just constant and there's no real, it's fine, but there's no real, it's all just in one go, which I suppose works with Ferrari, but again, you get away with that because you're Ferrari. It's one of those mysteries of the world that doesn't need an answer, if that makes sense.
That or Red Bull just simply didn't bother redesigning it and spent the money on catering,
OSCAP.
perhaps.
I mean, it was only going to be a matter of time before somebody brought in the cost cap thing, wasn't it? I think the livery is kind of fine. It's iconic for its time, I think. There was a lot of talk online about it being something completely different to what we'd seen for the past few years from Red Bull, where there was the Mr. Doodle picture kind of promoted, and people go, is this going to be the livery? Or they were considering potentially, is it going to go back to that white Red Bull that everybody seemed to really latch on to? When was that? 2021? That was
They had that
Japanese special,
Japanese special, yeah.
but not in Japan, was it
It was in
in
Turkey, yeah.
Turkey.
That's right. It's not a horrible livery. But I think, yeah, that's the ceremony was an absolute joke. I think obviously trying to appease their sponsors more than do any sort of service to the fans, but are the fans of Red Bull really going to care anyway? Because they're expecting the performance that they may not necessarily be after the best looking car or the most dynamic in terms of livery. If the formula of what they're doing is working for the team, they're probably not going to try and do anything too radical, because then they might have an association that a new livery has marked the beginning of a different stage. And if they're just developing it and adding a few things here and there, it might be something for them that is where we're ramping up to complete domination, or nobody is ever going to top us, so stay away from us, this livery isn't going anywhere potentially. Or is that
I've got two things to kind of comment there on just going off what you said there, Henry. I think part of it is that when it comes to on-track stuff, the Red Bull clearly know what they're doing. When it comes to off-track stuff, probably less so, because it's probably the livery that's the most difficult one to get excited about, because you always hope that, oh, livery, what are we going to see? And Ferrari have somehow cracked this, not to keep going back to them, but where they can have this pretty much the same livery year in year.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And we all go mad for it regardless. Whereas Red Bull, they haven't quite captured that, even when they put on a massive spread for it. And the other thing I think would be interesting to see, which we're still away from, is when Ford officially do join them in 26, will that be then when we get an actual different livery, or will that just be Ford on the rear wing like it was with Honda?
What I will say, the one thing that is good about them staying the same in terms of livery is that your merch never goes out of date.
This is true. Although I don't have any Red Bull merch, so that's probably something I ought to resolve this season.
I'm sorry, I don't have
top and two hats.
Need to get some more hats in the collection, get some Red Bull ones. But moving on, speaking of hats, it's a chance for me to swap hats as we move on to Williams and their livery for the 2023 season. And I'm in mixed minds about the Williams livery for this year. It's all right. Again, like Timo said earlier on, it's sort of an evolution of the 2022 look. I like they've really doubled down on the Duracell Airbox thing. Duracell was written on the Airbox last year, but this year they probably decided to just make it look like a battery man. It's just funny. And I like that. I like the lightheartedness of it. And the design is good, but design is one thing, performance on track is another. So I'm going to wait to be impressed by the boys from Oxfordshire.
They've made some good developments with the car as well, from what we've seen, and the test session that they did at Silverstone went as well as they could have hoped for. Both drivers were happy there, so it's a positive sign that the developments they weren't able to make last year because of the cost cap, they've at least managed to get that sorted. So while they still might be behind, at least they've been able to get those issues sorted. So how much closer that brings them, we don't know, but at least that's a nice thing as well. And you can tell that with the design of it. And I hope it's... So far, I've not been proven right on this front, so that's good. Where last year's car looked great in the studio, but then on the track it didn't look as good to me, so I'm hoping that gets fixed this year, and so far so good. But again, not much else to say there. It's just a nice little subtle evolution, and like you say, Jesse, I quite like the Duracell battery addition there, with them just really leaning into that and just the lightheartedness. You got to appreciate it.
I think it's better than last year's, but I think I always expect a lot from Williams, which is why I always get disappointed. I tend to think that they're going to go back to their early to mid-90s livery, and it never happens. So I'm never going to be satisfied unless that moment comes. But that's not going to happen, because you're not going to get, like, unless they change to a Renault engine, they might. But until then, I think It is nice, but I would always be kind of disappointed with that. I just want it to go back to the 90s livery because it just
suggestion for the podcast. Can we make the logo for our podcast yellow? We get enough money and we sponsor them and we can get a dash of yellow back on the car then.
Could do. I mean, what you really want is for them to be sponsored by Rothmans again, because that was where much of the colour scheme
came
from.
And we change our name to Rothmans.
Yeah, and that sort of gives you the sort of blue, and was it a gold stripe, wasn't it, for Rothmans? And then obviously you've got the Renault Elf across the engine covers. So we either go into partnership with Renault and Elf Oils, or we become a cigarettes manufacturer and call ourselves Rothmans.
Knowing our luck, we'll probably be the latter.
Yeah, we'll somehow stumble into that. Or the Undercut Podcast, brought to you by Marlboro. Which I wouldn't be against, because again, dope livery.
Yeah, it is. I personally think that this year and last year's livery was actually a really nice change. My favourite Williams livery of recent years, I think, has got to be the Martini, when it was just a very clean white with a nice stripe down the middle. Their merchandise and their team wear was very, very clean, and I think it was rather iconic. Unfortunate at the time as to when it was, because they weren't doing great.
Lance Stroll got a podium with them at that point, didn't he? And Bottas.
If it was after 14-15, they were on their way down the grid, so yeah, it's less good by comparable notion.
So maybe it's that there you go. They lost that livery and they started going down.
Yeah, they need to be sponsored by Martini again.
Clearly.
More alcohol sponsors on the grid.
If ever Jacob Phillips had a calling to go into F1 sponsorship, so.
I like this livery, I think. It's vibrant. It's one of the more vibrant ones on the grid. There's a lot of black on from the teams this year, and actually to have something that is entirely blue will be very easy to spot. Unfortunately, it will be probably at the back.
Easy to photograph because it's moving slowly. Yeah, you'll get a chance to admire it as it comes past, sort of thing. Speaking of the whole sort of bring back alcohol sponsorships to F1, on a bit of a sidetrack, best alcohol brand that would, or best livery from an alcohol brand, what do you think would make the best one go?
Newcastle Brown Ale.
Oh, yes, because you could have the star on there, and in cold races, star would change color. Yeah, I'm immediately on board with you on that one.
It gets when it rains, that's when the logo changes.
Logo changes color. I was thinking probably somewhere along the lines of, because obviously Aston Martin are sponsored by Peroni, they've got the Peroni 0% one. But I was thinking, wouldn't it be great to have one sponsored by Doombar? I think that would make for a really good livery.
That would. That nice blue and silver look to it. Yeah.
It would look quite good. Well, before we get completely sidetracked once again, we'll move on to the fourth livery on this list, which comes from yet another hat. Alfa Romeo. And New Year, and Timo's written for this one, Black Adam anti-hero vibes. It's fun. They also had a weird Art Deco sort of promo livery, which won't get used at all. They did similar pointless nonsense last year. But I don't think it's worth including those in our rankings at the end of the video. But I think this year's is a good-looking car. That's a nice livery they've got going on here. And it's, again, I think we've been shown a bit of a dummy for the actual tech specs of the car. It's got a very interesting-looking side to the floor. But otherwise, it looks good. And equally, the black really tends to trim down the cars, because they're a bit of sort of, as I've written in my notes here, heck and chonkers this year. They look a bit pudgy, the cars. But the black really adds to the sort of slendering nature, especially around the tail end of the engine cowls. So it's very interesting. And equally, the black or lack of paint and just sort of the glossed carbon fiber does trim the weight back. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any through the season evolutions of these paint schemes and liveries, like we saw last year, as teams were sort of fighting to try and shed weight by scraping more and more paint off their cars as the races went by. But I think Alfa Romeo is off to a good start. It looks good. And I think the red and black it's something. It really is.
I really like the dark mode, and it's been done really well. And my initial thought when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's a good looking car. And whilst it still is, I then saw it side by side with last year's, and I actually kind of prefer the red and white. I think it actually looks keener. So it is still good, but I think I prefer the red and white.
I'm hoping that with it being a second year for both of those drivers in the team, it's going to be very much like, okay, we got up to speed, we were kind of nice last year. Like, we had this nice clean livery, like you say. But this year we can really be a bit mischievous about it, a bit Fernando Alonso, and hopefully they'll have made the gains to go with that. And if that means that they're going to be stealing the odd point away from other teams that may be further up the grid battling, but they're going to be the ones to come in and be sneaky every now and again, then I think this car looks perfect for that, because you're like, nah, that pesky Alfa Romeo, but damn it, it looks nice. So I can't be too mad at that, getting there and getting in the top 10 a bit more regularly.
No, I think that's a good point. I think with the Alfa, it's good because the colouring is simple. It's in blocks. It's not trying to do anything too complicated on it. And with the black kind of offsetting the white from last year, I would have to agree with Ellie May on the white one looking cleaner, but this dark one really, really goes, nicely with what else is going on. And it's going to be one of those ones that, you're right, Timo, you're going to look at it and you go, yeah, damn, that is a tasty looking car. I wasn't entirely sure how the steak logo was going to look on it, because it's more flowing. They are, Orlan moved from Alpha to Alpha. Alpha to Alpha. And I wasn't sure how that was going to work, but I think actually it's worked out surprisingly well, considering the number of sponsors that are on the Alfa Romeo. I thought it might have got a bit lost, or it wouldn't really go with that harsh black line against the red. But actually, it seems
the only wish I have for the season for Alfa Romeo is when they get to Austin, if that they change the stake logo to be an actual stake, because if they don't do it there, I feel that's a missed opportunity.
Do you mean like a piece of meat or a
yes.
wooden pole?
Both. Put one on one bit of it and put the other on whichever other end. I don't mind. Put a stake on the back, actually, on the rear wing, and then you put the other stake, the wooden stake, on the nose, because that would fit better.
Maybe that's a test of how hot the Alfa Romeo gets as to how well cooked your steak is.
Yeah, they're suffering overheating problems through the hot races. This sort of, when it comes in for sort of tire changes, someone whips off the filet mignon and slaps on another one and just sort of breaks open the one they've taken off and goes, and it's still mid-rare in the middle. I think we're doing all right with the cooling setup. Sort of running that
well
through FP1s. Yeah, I think the steak logo works well because it's a similar sort of script style to the Alfa Romeo script. So it just about blends in. And equally, it's not huge on the side pod. It's only about as big as the Alfa Romeo sort of logo is a little further back on the engine. So it sits nicely. It's not big and overpowering and blockish in the way that some of the things on the Red Bull are that sort of jump out you and go, oh my God, they're definitely trying to sell me that. You just sort of look at it and go, steak. Don't know what that is. Maybe I ought to buy it. I don't know. But it's on the side of this car. And it's subtle enough. I like it. It doesn't detract from the overall design.
Do you think that Alfa Romeo, Haas and Ferrari, as they're all gone sort of, well, Ferrari less so, but they've gone for the red and the black, do you think that then when that car's coming up behind you, that
you're not going to know which one it is?
You're not going to know which one it is. So you're going to look in your rear mirror and be like, Is that a Ferrari and it's overtaken me and I've got to let it go past? Or is that a Haas that I'm fighting?
Yeah, I mean, it's great if you're the one that's fighting.
The way that works quite well, because the whole point of this is that they should all be fighting regardless of who they're up against and not just letting anyone pass. Oh, we're not in this fight because we're meant to be fighting.
No, but if you're...
That's the case, you fight everyone and get on with it.
If that's the case, they've just got to let the Haas go through. Just everybody could just stop. Just let us... just. Get on through to the front. That would be fab. Anybody listening who works for any Formula One team, just take my... It'd be great. I'll buy you a pint.
I mean, optimistically, as the Tifosi fan, I think it's likely to be the Ferrari that gets blue flagged through. But obviously, if you're a similar looking car that's also following through, you might get away with a cheeky overtake under the blue flags, because they simply go, Oh, I thought I let the Ferrari pass. Oh, that was the Alfa Romeo. Whoops, my mistake. It's unlikely to be, unless it's going to be a strange season if we have like all the red cars fighting at the front of the grid. So you've got your Haas, your Alfa Romeo, and your Ferrari all duking it out at the front in one, not necessarily front of the grid, just in one grouping. That's going to be very strange.
Which goes back to what I was saying before, whereas if they are stealing the odd point or more points or podium, like, darn it for tricking me, but it's a handsome car, so I can't be too mad at that, you.
But the
it's
dark
almost going to be the motorsport. It's almost going to be the motorsport equivalent of three children in a long brown trench coat.
Yeah, it's like, this seems suspicious. But the whole dark thing does bring into the strange question of, we've got an extra night race on the calendar this year. We've obviously added Las Vegas to the list, and obviously we've already got Saudi Arabia. We've got Singapore. So we've got quite a few night races
now making up the list.
And Qatar is going to be night race. Bahrain and Abu Dhabi are technically counted as dusk races, but they're pretty dark by the time the race is done. What's it going to be like when you've got these tiny little pod wing mirrors, you're skimming along the road at 200 miles an hour, and you've got to try and, in the dark behind you, spot a car that's coming towards you? That's not going to be easy, especially when you've got the likes of a very dark Haas, a very dark Alfa Romeo, and what's ultimately a very dark Mercedes likely coming past you, either for an overtake or under blue flags.
I'm going to spoil your fun, Jesse.
Go on.
Team radio. They'll just get told.
Yeah, they'll get told, but I mean, how often does team radio not work or prove kind of useless? You've only got to look back at things like Azerbaijan, where you've got all the high-rise buildings and the radio is terrible.
Yeah, but it's daytime there, so you're going to have more chance of seeing what's behind you.
Yeah, but you take those high-rise buildings, like you'd have in, I don't know, Las Vegas, where it's going to be dark and nighttime and hot, and you've got the drivers under pressure,
driver
or
tracker.
Singapore, and all of a sudden you could well have problems. Driver tracker. But you're not going to have that on your little
steering
wheel.
No, but the radio, and then they'll be like, I can read that on the screen. I'll tell the person, job done.
It just for me sparks the idea that we could see some fairly interesting shunts because, oh, I didn't see you there. Which is going to be interesting. But anyway, we'll move on from one Alpha to the other, and Alpha Tauri, which just has a small...
Very much a case of, I wish I couldn't see you there.
Yes, which just simply has next to it as a note at the moment, minus 10. We'll start with Henry. Go on then.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me.
Help keep our community safe and healthy during National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, October 25th. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent drug misuse before it starts.
To relate it back to my favorite topic, Haas, it's got a white nose, basically from the beginning of the cockpit all the way down to the tip. And unlike the Haas, it's almost completely white. It's not been separated by another layer of color. And it just looks a bit... I'm trying to think of the word to describe it. So I'll use a James May term. It looks a bit gopping.
Thank you.
Front. And the AlphaTauri logo, I don't think you could make it any bigger than it was last year, but somehow they've managed to do it. And the red on the Orlan, I think it's been a bit of a mixed bag between people as to whether it is a good thing or it's not so good. I'm leaning on the it doesn't really fit, but then Orlan aren't going to want to take away their primary color. It's a tricky color scheme to get along with, but I don't really rate this one.
There were probably better ways of fitting that red in there. And I mean, my notes are pretty short on this one on the grounds of it feels basic. The red looks like a mistake. And I know it's got to be there for the Orlan sponsorship, like you've already said, but it's just wrong. It's sort of my first livery looking ass job. It's sort of the thing you can imagine a myopic preschooler doing with some crayons and going, oh, I wanted to put some red on there. Boom, stick it on the halo, job done. And it's... It feels like someone sort of walked into the AlphaTauri office and went, oh, car looks great, guys. What color are we painting it? And then everyone went, shit, we haven't figured that out yet, have we?
But you look at last year. Last year's livery was probably one of the best ones on the grid.
And it was a good-looking car, yeah.
And it was like, how's it gone from there to here? And I get it must be really tricky being the people in charge of designing these cars, because you've got to appease fans and you've got to appease sponsors, and trying to get that balance is obviously extremely difficult.
I like the idea that the Red Bull designer was so annoyed that he wasn't able to do a new livery for them that he just took his anger out and did the AlphaTauri one and went, I'll punish you this way. Either that, or it's a warning of what could be coming for Red Bull with their Mr. Dude design. Like, yeah, it could be worse than this. But also, it could be this, which is already bad. So, at your own risk. But it was one of the things I think it obviously looked very different when I first looked at it. It didn't look as bad on second look, but that was still a case of, yeah, I still don't like you. You're just not as grim as I first thought, but that's not going to do too much in where you rank for me. And I like that they tried something different. At least they can say they did that, but I would be very surprised if that's still the livery for them next year. And the launch as well was a little odd for me. Like we were saying, Red Bull earlier, that was a bit curious as to why go through all the hassle just to do the same old, whereas this one, it kind of went too far in the opposite direction. And Yuki seems to have shrunk, which I didn't know was possible. And the way De Vries was standing made it look like that they'd just CGI'd out the back end of him because he's actually a centaur, the way he's standing there. So it just all very bizarre.
I'm currently going through, is it the 8 degrees of separation or something like that? Because AlphaTauri...
8 stages of grief, isn't it? That's the one.
8 stages of grief, that's it. AlphaTauri usually have one of the best liveries for me. I've always loved their clean swooping lines of blue and white contrast, and this year they've decided to add the red, which kills the entire thing. And like Henry said, they've gone for a white block at the front, a blue block at the back, and I'm so sad.
Why do the wheel trims look like shurikens as well? It just looks
That's
like
a good point.
Yeah, I've just pulled it up in front of me just to sort of refresh my mind as to how terrible it was, because I enjoy torturing myself like that.
I was going to say, you're a brave man for doing that.
Next time someone subjects you to looking at it, have a look at what they've got on like the wheel covers, and they look like shurikens. They've sort of got 4 bladed spoke bits painted onto them. I don't know why, because it doesn't seem to correspond to any of the sponsorship they've got. So it's just simply a case of someone sat down and went, heck it, ninja wheels. Why?
I kind of hope that they do well this year, though, especially compared to last year, just for the sole purpose of we'll have to look at it more and we'll just eventually have Stockholm syndrome with it. Whereas if it would be down the back of the grid like they were last year, we won't see it as much and we'll be saved that horror. But it would be kind of amusing if it does bounce back for them now. Like, oh god, they're going to keep it now because it's helped them do better.
Or it becomes the Williams theory of, if it's slow, we see the sponsorship for longer, and then we all go, ooh, Orlan, I'll buy whatever Orlan do.
What do Orlan do? I see what you mean about the wheel covers as well. It kind of looks like you're looking down into the bottom of a blender.
Yes, yeah, it's like sort of a bladed spinny object. Orlan, here we go. PKN, Orlan, Petrol Refinery Company, Polski Concern, Naftawi, Orlan, Spolka, Aksjenja.
To be fair, Jesse, you've been telling me a lot how you've been wanting to get your petrol refined. It's one of your pet peeves in life, and I think we finally found a solution for it.
I've got so much of this goddamn unrefined petrol, I think I might have to start speaking to these people called Orlan, because I've seen them sponsoring the AlphaTauri. I'm sold. That's exactly how
they
works.
If they'd like to sponsor the podcast as well, then have a chat with them about that, you know?
More than welcome to. Although
then we love the livery and we think it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Although I will go back to my original roots of when I used to smoke at university. Always smoked Marlboro. So dollar, please.
And if they do give us a lot of money, that may help me get over my grief.
Yeah. Our next contender, number 6 on the list, Aston Martin.
Quietly excited, but more for the design rather than the livery, which, as I said earlier, is just an evolution of what we had last year. It's a slightly better green than last year. I think it's still not the green I want it to be, which would be similar to the Jaguar of yesteryear or Jim Clark's Lotus. That was much more the green I was hoping for. But from the design stuff, they seem to have not just copy and pasted Red Bull for a change. They've done that, but they've also done that for all the other teams that worked last year as well. So I can see why Alonso's quite looking forward to it, and it'd be interesting to see what they can do. And I think the darker green kind of helps with that and definitely suits Fernando and what we know about him and just his whole personality. So I'm enjoying that. He looks good in green.
I mean, I I've previously been quite vocally wrong about the Aston Martin. I think finally it's a step in the right direction because I was like, I'm fairly certain I've seen original Aston Martin racing car flick back through my photos from Goodwood Revival last year. And sure enough, I had a shot of one of the very early 1950s spec Aston Martin F1 cars and looked at the color that the car was through the haze of tire smoke and carcinogenic exhaust fumes. And turns out that the color they've got on their car this year is very historically accurate. And I like historically accurate stuff. I'm weird and old like that. So seeing them sort of get very close to a green that's very similar, I quite like. The problem is the Aston Martin is obscured in the shot by a Coventry Climax Lotus, which is also in green, but arguably the green that Timo wants, which I do think is still better. And equally, the
It's a
light.
pain when you have to agree with me, isn't it?
It really hates, I hate to do it, but at the same time, you do genuinely have a point of if you're going to go for a British racing car in green, it's got to be British racing green. And yeah. And equally, the light often overplays over the green they've gone for really unflatteringly. It always looks great in the studio where it's always lit with a green light, weirdly. But then as soon as they get it outside, it just looks grey once you add a bit more blue to it from sort of natural light colours. So yeah. I still want to see a dash of yellow from the GT teams on there. If they could do that, I'd be a happy bunny. But overall, this isn't a shocker, but it's hardly my favorite either.
Yeah, I have to agree in that I really want it to be British racing green. But kind of like Timo said, it wasn't the color that I was more drawn to, it was the design of the car itself. And it does look a lot sexier than last year's. So hopefully good things are coming to Aston Martin.
That's for sure. I mean, I thought the delivery, once they'd managed to pull the BWT off from the Aston in their first year, it definitely lifted it. And when they had that really nice kind of like lime green accent running along the side, I thought that was really nice. I actually, on that green thing, a British Racing green, obviously, I think would be a better one, a nice richer one instead of one that's kind of almost a bit fern. E,
Desaturated,
burny
yeah.
coloured, yeah, a bit saturated, a bit kind of thin. Instead of a British racing green, how about? And this is, you may or may not know this colour, but the specific British Railways green that was
Ooh.
very similar to British racing green, but slightly darker, and then they have an orange band around it. If you find.
The only green
Yes.
railway I can think of is Great Western Railway.
Oh, not that Great Western Railway. No, we don't do that here.
Yes, no, I've got British Rail locomotive green up in front of me, and it's not bad.
Let me look at it.
Yeah.
Think of the sort of color that the Flying Scotsman would have been painted in, that sort of color.
And
Yeah.
what it's currently painted in now. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's not bad. I could go for a bit of that.
Yeah.
Could the Aston be the green bull again this year? Potentially. But Lance Stroll, if he's going to be defending, he definitely needs to calm the ever-loving bejesus out of his manoeuvres and just tone things down a touch.
Well, no, he needs to keep doing what he's doing because, according to Fernando Alonso, he's world champion
Oh,
material.
he is. He is world
What
champ.
you
He is.
didn't see was Lawrence just out of shot holding a gun to his head.
Yeah.
Say it, and we'll give you your family back. Number seven on this, McLaren, and I prefer this to last year's a little bit. The dark mode suits it. It sort of makes it look a bit trimmer, a bit more angular, a bit tighter. And equally, the bigger blue bands across it are perfect. They really sort of highlight the curves left on the side pods. It's a good livery. Really busy. I, again, like last year's car, I've never seen a car so littered with sponsorship before. It's absurd just how hard clearly the financials and sponsorship side of McLaren are working to get names and money in bank accounts. But hey, here we are.
It's one of my favorites actually, and I really like the contrast between the papaya blue and black. And I'm also not opposed to how sort of big that chrome logo is either. I think it actually adds a bit of color that that black needs. Otherwise, you'd have a huge bulk of black at the back, and it might have looked a bit, it would have looked like it needed something. So that chrome kind of gives it what it needs.
I'm not so sure. It kind of feels like it's starting to lose its McLaren-ness. If they're trying to keep the papaya and have the papaya as their main brand image with that neon blue, I think they needed to have a little bit more of it. Google's presence certainly seems to have grown exponentially. The main colours of the car really only seem to have been fitted onto the side pods, onto the nose, and that seems about it, which you could argue kind of tones down the lairiness of that, those bright neon colours. Obviously a car that they definitely want to have a lot of eyes on, a very striking looking thing.
Well, you won't bloody miss it, will you?
You can't miss it, but I think probably like a vast majority of McLaren fans, I really wanted that Golf livery to stay with McLaren and to be a permanent thing when they had it in Monaco, because the amount of merchandise that they were able to sell and how iconic those colours are together, I think they should have stuck with it. It's a shame that Golf have gone to Williams now, but I can't help that, and I won't.
The Golf colours, yeah, they were the most... They were beautiful. Mm. They were definitely... I think the problem with McLaren is, how do you define what their colours really are? Because over the years, they've changed so much. I mean, they were silver and red, red and white, silver and black when it was McLaren West.
Yeah, the old West livery with Coulthard
and Häkkinen.
Yeah,
so it's, how really do you define what McLaren's colours really are? They sort of just change with sponsorships and kind of however they feel.
I think the papaya orange is definitely in there, because that's always been in the boomerang shape that forms part of it, along with the fast kiwi. I think that's a key colour to it, but what you add to it, I think, is what makes or breaks the livery. If you're going to definitely stick with the papaya orange, it's what you sort of supplement it with, what the side dishes are. And
I think while it's a nice evolution as well, the blue, it seems more like the Alpine blue we saw last year, and indeed this year, as they continue in the same vein. And it's like, are you trying to turn into your competition, or what is your motive there? Because it doesn't really... Blue has never really been much of a McLaren thing from memory, unless I'm missing something glaring there. And the orange and that blue don't go as well together. It's still nice enough. It's just, again, it's not one of the most exciting things on there. And again, just a little side note, again, maybe they just haven't got all the suits ready yet, but Piastri doesn't look like he grew into his suit by the time it was launch day. So it looked a little bit odd there. Maybe he was borrowing Zach's.
Yeah, it does look a little big on him. It's a little broad fitting, looking back at the pictures.
Maybe it's Danny Ricks and they've just sort of removed embroidery or something.
He'll grow into it. It was hand-me-downs.
He's a growing lad. That'll be fine. We've got Red Bull's catering budget. He'll fill that out. We'll move swiftly on, and with another cap change, the final one of the episode, unfortunately, to Ferrari. And God damn, that's a good-looking motor car right there. Awooga, awooga, awooga. The Ferrari script on the rear wing, yes, the red and the black, the balance is spot on. It gives the car a svelte trim look right around the waistline as it tapers to the rear. It's really trim right around the side pods. And yeah, Charles Leclerc, world champion, here we come, all aboard the Scuderia hype train. What are you saying? But will it derail? The train will not derail. This is not British rail service. This is bullet train service right here, straight to a world championship. All aboard, please and thank you.
So regardless of the performance, and I hope it's there this year and there continuously, which if you listen to the Ferrari people, they have sorted out the reliability, so let's hope that's the case. But I've written a very short note here, which sums, I think, all of our thoughts up very nicely, which is that I appear to have creamed my pants again because of a Ferrari.
I think that's quite fair. Henry, anything to add to that?
Without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. I mean, what more can I add? What a way to launch the Ferrari campaign for this year, with the shakedown live at the circuit in front of all those people. Here's the car straight away out on track. You can see it. You can listen to the messages. It kind of, I thought they were pre-recorded because it felt a little bit too scripted.
To be fair, if you saw their launch from last year, you can see how badly scripted they can be. So it was definite improvement from this year.
I like the fact that there's a few small black accents that I haven't gone too mad with the carbon fiber thing, and it will highlight some of their newer sponsors, which will definitely appease them, but it won't appease their sponsors in the same sort of wanky way that the AlphaTauri did. But I think the best thing for me was that the whole launch was that little video clip with Frédéric Vasseur, Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc deciding who was going to drive the car. It felt very natural and very sort of a very cute moment between the three of them. Obviously, you've got Charles and Fred's previous relationship when he was with the karting team and with Alfa Romeo. There's something I'd like to see a little bit more from these launches, where we had Red Bull, where it was all very, very corporate, and they said Oracle Red Bull Racing probably about 100,000 times. It was really nice, I think, to see them being a bit more relaxed. And I think they're going to be a bit more relaxed, and it's not going to feel quite so so stark compared to last year.
So I've got to agree with you there, in the sense that I think if you're going to go down that same route of you're going to have one livery for all time, then Red Bull really needs to take a look at Ferrari and how they do their launches and everything. Because if Red Bull had done that, I can probably say with as much certainty as possible that we would have all been a lot more excited about it, especially because it'd be interesting to have seen that same kind of banter between Christian, Max and Sergio, especially between Max and Sergio, given we don't know how much there's still maybe tension there from last year or if that's all under the boat. But that would have been a great way to dispel that by having this nice natural feeling of like, that was all last year, this is this year, we're going to do this now, here's a shakedown, let's have some fun as opposed to whatever the heck that was. And also you'd have Danny Ric there as well in that instance, which even if he's not in the car, if you're sticking him in charge of the team radio, you've got gold already. So it's just an easy own goal there. Instead, they went to New York and did something.
Their reveal really sort of gave that tifosi passion that is the reason why everyone's a Ferrari fan. And that car is just beautiful. And that's all I really need to say on it. Oh, and it still looks like a vagina from the bird's eye view. So
some men still can't find the top of the halo.
Is that what you were trying to say about the Haas earlier, Henry? Was that what you were trying to find instead of a Triton?
Yeah, I have to say, I've never looked at a vagina from a bird's eye view. I don't.
You're missing out, my friend.
Certainly not from that height.
Can we start a Valentine's Day book of quotes for this year, Jesse, and stick that in there on the first page?
First page, opening up straight into the season. I've never looked at a vagina from a bird's eye view. Wasted your weekends there, mate.
What can I say? I come up with absolute comedy turd.
We're having this man back. We'll move on to Mercedes, the ninth and penultimate car on our list. And I am not a Mercedes fan generally. I take or leave them, but that is an incredible looking car. I didn't think it was going to look great when they were like, oh, it's all black. And I'm going, nah. But it works. It really works. Obviously, the sponsorship placement across the car is quite clever in the way that it sort of gives curves and edges to it, and the yellow streaks through it, and the yellow on the black. It is fantastic.
You know what it reminded me of, Jesse? You know the scene in Batman Begins where he's testing out the tumbler and he's like, does it come in black?
Yes. Yeah. It's
very much that.
It really is. But again, it does sort of highlight my question as a photographer on the grounds of, how easy will it be to photograph and also spot in your mirrors at night racing?
It won't be easy, but you'll be really satisfied when you achieve it, Jesse.
Oh, that's for certain. It will look fantastic, especially at a night race at something like Singapore or Las Vegas. Under the lights, that's going to look bombastic. But
especially if you don't see that coming up behind you and you're like, what is that? Oh no, it's a Mercedes. It's not a Haas, maybe, or it's not an Alfa Romeo, where you think, okay, maybe I stand. You're not as worried about that because of history. Like, they still might be incredibly good, but you're like, okay, we're still figuring out what to do with them. But Mercedes, with their track record, you're like, oh no, black Mercedes right behind me, Lewis and George in that car. Oh dear.
Yeah, because I mean, last time we saw George in a black Mercedes, he was he was spicy going.
If you're Valtteri Bottas well in that Alfa Romeo and you see that behind you, like, oh no,
oh no, this is worse than him coming behind me in a Williams at Imola in the rain. But hey, yeah, it's interesting times. Ellie May, your thoughts on the black Mercedes?
For me, it's a bit bland. When they initially did their black livery in 2020, I thought this looks sexy, and the shade of black they used was just perfect. This year, it just falls flat for me. When I saw it under the turquoise lighting, the turquoise reflects really lovely off the car, but you're not going to get turquoise lighting around the circuits unless they're just going to install like turquoise strobe lighting around. So, and the only times we're ever going to see light reflect off the car is the dusk races or the night races, and we don't have many of them. And I also don't like George's green. It doesn't contrast well with the turquoise, so overall it just falls flat for me. Sorry.
Why that was changed from the blue to the green?
It could have been a George choice, to be fair, and that's nothing to do with the team.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the Mercedes certainly seems to won the award for the longest car name in history, the Mercedes AMG Petronas F1 W14 E Performance.
They always go for a long name.
This car. It's are they trying to name a new document that you have to fill in at the DVLA?
It's the sort of thing that Elon Musk would name one of his kids.
It really would. I think it's good to see the car match the race suits, because that really bugged me last year when they were wearing black that the car was in silver. I think you keep the suits to match the car. I liked the look of the Mercedes when it was in silver, and Nico and Bottas and Hamilton were in silver. I liked it when Hamilton and Bottas were in black and the car was black. But this is a good step to see that they've finally gone, okay, yeah, last year was definitely, or maybe that was what was all going on all along. It wasn't the porpoising at the beginning. It wasn't their pace. It was the fact that their race suits didn't match the car. Epiphany. I've had it. I've solved it. Right. Who's got Toto's phone number?
There's a YouTube video for you, which you've got to find a link to Haas there so you can keep in brand with for you. But...
I think this year's Mercedes looks really nice. The sea foam green from the Petronas has always worked well, and it's nice to see the that red kind of disappear from where it was around the airbox, kind of now just turned into a little red ring.
And you've got Nikki's red star just above, just by the top of that as well now. So it's just very, very nicely put in place. It's subtly, and you can miss that, but it's
there. Yeah, definitely. And where they had issues before with the AMG logo being absolutely slathered all over the back of it towards the rear wing, it was definitely way too full on. And it's nice to see that they've toned that down with just the Mercedes logo. But as more pictures have come out. Did anyone else see the fact that the Mercedes logo actually isn't in the middle on the nose?
Yes, yeah, it's slightly skewed to one side, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that could just be an error with application on that nose cone.
Quite possibly, yeah. But I would have
equally,
thought so.
When it's doing 180 past you down the Brooklands at Silverstone, you're probably not going to notice.
To be fair, no, I'm overtaken by that. Like, oh, but the logo is smooth. Oh, hang on, why am I looking at that?
Yeah, Red Bull's hoping Michael Massey comes back and they can point that out and go, that's not to spec, that's off kilter, you can't have that on a race circuit. And Michael Massey's going to go, yeah, sorry Mercedes, we can't have that on track.
It's interesting you mentioned that, actually, just to tie Mercedes and Ferrari together for a second, actually, because I think it's the something on the front wing, I can't remember the exact thing now on the Ferrari, but it's essentially what front wing inlets, I think, on the Ferrari are what Mercedes did in Texas last year.
Yes.
But a more subtle interpretation of that rule. So it's going to be interesting to see if the FIA and everyone else allowed that to go, and if that's going to be all right for them, because it's very sneaky and interesting. But again, it's that kind of quiet confidence that Ferrari have, where like, yeah, we try it, we'll be cheeky, we have that bit of passion that we give it a go, and maybe we have something backed up for it. But interesting that they took inspiration from the Mercedes for that one. But again, yeah, if this Mercedes is as fast as it looks, then this could be a very interesting year, because that looks fast as fudge.
But yeah,
didn't I say think fudge.
He didn't say fudge, which leaves us with one more livery to go through.
So it's essentially a bit like the McLaren, the Aston Martin, the Williams, in the sense that it's an evolution from last year, but I prefer it. There is a pink version, which I'm not 100% across the details of where that will be deployed. Hopefully just,
it will be in Bahrain, Saudi Arabia and Australia.
Oh, well, they've extended
There are three double DNFs coming their way then as punishment for having such a stupid-looking car. But the blue and the pink works quite nicely. So I like it. It's going to be interesting to... I think I just like it. It's a continuation from what we had before. And the pink can do one, because I'm trying to be better on the swearing.
It's essentially the same design with a bit of black. Really?
Mm-hmm.
They've just decided to show a bit of carbon fiber to shed some weight, and that's
It's an 18th century whore. It's shown some ankle.
I was going to say, it's got its carbon fiber out for the boys, but I like it. The standard one looks pretty good. I like it in the pink as well, actually. I don't think that's bad.
Yes, but you have a lot of bangs on the head, Jesse, as we know. So
I'm just not afraid of toxic masculinity. I'm happy to say I like pink, my friend.
And equally, I like the pink.
The French tricolore running down the center of it on the nose cone as well looks really good, and especially with the black Alpine writing down it. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. And the with the sort of trimmed back, sort of more black around the side pods and around the sort of under the nose, it looks good in standard form. So if it goes half as well as it looks, it's going to be a worry for McLaren, certainly.
Well, there is the other factor that we can just...
The dissolved bit on the side pods of the pink merging into the black reminds me of Endgame.
Mm, it's sort of where the side pod has been dusted almost. It's succumbed to the Thanos snap and is sort of fading away a little bit. Yeah, you notice that when you look at it. You can see it on like the top of the engine cowl as well, where it's sort of... Almost like
the chances of getting points when they use that pink livery.
No, it's more like one of those over the top Microsoft PowerPoint transitions between slides. But again, I really like it. It's a little bit bold. It's a little bit different, and I'm optimistic. The race suits don't look half bad either, because there's like a lot of black on there, then with sort of the pinky elements to them. It looks good.
Personally, I think it's fine. It's very similar to the McLaren, obviously not in colour, but in sort of where the colours are situated on the car. I like the fact that they haven't extended the BWT across the whole of the front wing, and they've put both of them to get like one on one side and one on the other. You're right, the tricolore is a nice touch. I'm not so sure about having the word Alpine on the nose next to the top end of the halo. I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah, you kind of want to flipped the other way, because you're just cranking your head to one side there. Whereas I feel if you're looking at the nose, you want it to be able to read left to right, not just...
Yeah, but you've got to bear in mind what direction do most of the circuits go in. Most of them go clockwise. So as you're standing on the outside of the circuit as the car comes past you, the Alpine's going
to
look fine.
If you're able to read that as it goes whizzing past you, then...
I'm a quick reader, what can I say? But obviously,
to read it. You will be able to read it, because it would have broken down.
Don't say that. Don't say those things.
It amuses me how short Gasly's legs are up to Ocon's.
Still taller than Yuki.
Yeah, we should put Yuki then next to him.
I want to see all of this.
Just be the evolution of man. You've got three drivers you can start with right there.
Can we have all of this year's F1 grid in high order, please and thank you? What is the sort of?
You're saying about the Alfa Romeo or the Haas earlier, Henry, being the three kids in trench coats, just three Yukis.
Three.
Anyway, that is interesting. That is a good looking car. So the question is, how do you rank all 10 liveries? Now that we've seen them all, and I've now got to redo my maths because Ellie May changed her rankings.
How dare she?
So the lowest average score with 3 out of 10 is AlphaTauri. Second, so in ninth place is Williams on, oh no, it's Red Bull 5.75. Not a lot of
That
general.
sounds harsh.
It sounds harsh, but team and I both gave it fives. So it just bang in the middle. It's bang average, isn't it? I don't think it deserves any more than that. So yeah, William Red Bull comes second from the bottom with 5.75. Williams are third from last, 6.25. And then we get straight into the sevens, and we have a tie between Aston Martin and Alpine, who have both scored 7 on average, which isn't bad. Then we go to 7.25 for McLaren, just a little bit better than the Alpine and the Aston Martin. 7.5 sees Haas, not doing too badly for Haas. Then we go to 7.75 for Mercedes, 8.25 for Alfa Romeo, and then top of the billing is 9.5 for Ferrari, which sounds pretty good,
Now,
actually. I think
here's
that's
the
a
first bold prediction for season two of the podcast. That'll be the constructors' order for 2023.
Oh, yes, please. I'll take that.
Okay, right. Hang on. I've got the big prediction spreadsheet floating around here somewhere. Where's 2023 season predictions, team standings, Timo? That's what you want to call, right? That's how you want to call it.
I'm not going to win anyway, so why not? Let's have a bit of fun.
So
What, Red
Ferrari.
Bull's second to last?
You were beastly.
That Honda-powered engine really fell flat.
Yeah, they got the McLaren ones from a few years ago. It didn't pan out too well this time.
I mean, there's some sense to it because AlphaTauri do come dead last, and then you've got Red Bull just above them.
As per the
Also, to
rules.
so far, Timo and I are matching on three predictions for the championship standings next year.
You put RB in ninth place too.
No, I put AlphaTauri in 10th, Ferrari first, and Williams 8th. So far, we're not doing too badly. Williams 6.25. Then we go to 7. Who are we going to rank on top? Aston Martin or Alpine?
I vote Aston Martin.
Aston
I
Martin
agree.
over Alpine. Ellie
Yeah, I
May?
know. It sounds weird.
Bear in mind, this
Fernando
is.
gets all the points, though.
I think Otmar's
Oh,
also
yeah, I'll
going
go
to
Aston
bottle it.
Martin.
Okay, so in. Hang on, that's my sister messaging me. It's probably
He says
something.
Aston Martin too.
You stole. I was going to say that.
No, it was. I thought it was going to be something about George Russell's apartment, but no.
Okay.
Okay, so Timo's full standings are 10th place AlphaTauri, 9th place Red Bull, 8th place Williams, 7th place Alpine, 6th place Aston Martin, 5th place McLaren, 4th place Haas, 3rd place Mercedes, 2nd place Alfa Romeo, 1st place Ferrari. So Timo, that is locked in on the big Google Sheets for 2023 season predictions.
After the dullness of last year, that is exactly what we would need to switch things up and have an exciting 2023. So, you know what? Why the heck not?
Why not? We'll go for it. We'll see how that pans out. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this week's episode, really. We've done a lot of talking about different colours and things, which is quite impressive considering I'm colourblind. So quite why I have as much sway on this topic as I
That
do is
explains
beyond
the
me.
pink Alpine now.
It still looks nice to my eyes. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week's episode. As you've probably already heard, we will be back with our season predictions and some mutterings about, go away, Rosie. And some mutterings about testing in the coming days. But in the meantime, Timo, where can the people find you?
For written content, you can find me over on Is It Fast, Paddock Sorority, and Paddock Passion. I also co-host the Natural RX podcast and have my own podcast on the Curbs, where I've had a lot of very fun interviews so far this year, and there is a lot more good stuff to come on that one. Some very exciting stuff there.
Excellent. Ellie May, you where can you be found?
I can be found co-running the Instagram page, which is basically I now make the graphics, and running our TikTok account.
which has proven to be quite successful, actually, much to the surprise of many of us and your hard efforts. Henry, where can you be found if people want to find you?
That is at the Haschap over on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram as well.
Excellent. And if you want more from me, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter at Jesse on Cars, and you can also find me on Classic Car Weekly, in Classic Car Weekly, where I'm usually
there's
writing
a photo
about,
shoot
sitting on top of a stack of classic cars. And yeah, you can find me at Classic Car Weekly, where I've got all sorts of interesting content coming through there. I'm off to a variety of different shows and events across the year, as well as road testing some interesting cars. And I'm planning to try and make a return to YouTube, because I realised my channel has been completely underutilised last year when I got very busy with work. So I could be back on the tube soon. So we'll wait and see.
It's also a point, if they want to see you and me, Jesse, actually in person.
Yeah, we'll do a fan meet and greet. Yeah.
Yeah.
A completely unofficial fan meet and greet at the London Classic Car Show next weekend. I say next weekend like that has any relevance to people. That'll be the, 25th, 6th of February. Come to London, come to Olympia, come to the London Classic Car Show. You'll get to meet myself, Ellie Mae, and Alex Brundle. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.